This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This greatest nation on God's green earth, and a great day because the first stage of the census revelations was breached yesterday. They came out with all kinds of numbers and figures about the United States, and the way that this is all being treated by mainstream media, and actually by conservative media too, to a surprising extent, is that the big revelation, the important information, the important news here is the decline in the percentage of people who identify as white. That is still the overwhelming majority in the United States of America. It is. According to the new census, the percentage of white people in the country, and this includes citizens and non-citizens, just people living in the United States, is 58% are white. It's the lowest number we've ever had. In terms of only 58%, but 58%, if anybody wins a presidency with 58% or any other office, that's still a commanding majority. And there is another aspect of this that people won't talk about because it defeats the narrative that the left has seized upon, which is that the United States is moving inexorably totally fatefully toward a situation where the majority of people in this country are non-white. And that's supposed to change America very dramatically. I don't believe any of that. And I think the entire emphasis on race here in terms of the reaction to the census is a very unhealthy sign of what's going on in the United States of America. I'll give you an example of what I mean and explain why I think it's unhealthy. The New York Times headline for their very, very extensive article about the census and what is revealed in the census. And by the way, the biggest surprise in the census is people were expecting that New York City would lose population. It hasn't. The population of New York City, and that's the five boroughs, that doesn't include any of the suburbs in New Jersey or Long Island or Connecticut or anywhere else, just New York City. The population of the city went up very dramatically, and in fact, that led Mayor de Blasio to somehow take credit for that and say the Big Apple is even bigger. Well, it is. But here is the way the New York Times covered the entire situation. U.S. grew more diverse during the past decade. Overall, growth slowed as white population fell, census says. Why did the white population fall? There are actually two reasons, and it's shocking to me that the New York Times does not include the most important of those reasons. It doesn't even mention it. They point out, and they're right, there is a declining white fertility rate. Women are waiting longer to get married. They're having fewer children. They're having children out of wedlock, like every other segment of the population. But basically, declining fertility rate and aging population is part of it. And more white people aren't having children at all. The black population has been basically steady. The big growth has been in the Hispanic population and in the Asian population. But here is the little trick that comes up because of the way we do the census. Is people are labeled both according to race and a separate category according to whether they are Hispanic or not. And part of the great increase in the number of people who identify as Hispanic has to do with people who formerly had identified as white white non-Hispanic, but now there are fewer and fewer Hispanic people who are identifying as white. They're identifying as other or mixed race or almost anything else. And the biggest growing group in the entire population is mixed race. And part of what is reported here from this census is of people who are Hispanic and Asian and American born, right? About half marry a different ethnic group. In other words, the Hispanics marry whites or Asians, or Asians marry whites or blacks. But this whole idea that being a white person or being someone with a white father, say, and say an African-American mother, the idea that you are going to be identified as part of this non-white community, this non-white mass of people, seems to me to put too much emphasis on race as forming identity. And that is a real problem. That's the essential mistake in critical race theory. Because critical race theory suggests that there is such a thing as white. I repeat this, and I know this to be true. I know it from lived experience. I know it from all the people I've encountered in my entire lifetime. There are very few people who wake up in the morning and say, thank goodness I'm white. I'm so proud to be white. And one of the things that happens here is that we change what all of this means. So the idea that right now, America has the highest percentage of non-white people ever. We have, what is it? It's 42% now are non-white. That non-white group includes a millions upon millions of people who have a white parent or a white grandparent or a white or at least partially white child. And the idea that there is a definitive white culture, that white supremacists say needs to be defended, that race justice warriors say needs to be extirpated and erased and basically shamed into subservience, that whole idea is nonsensical. Now, why do I say this? I say it partially because I am a member of a group that was once, back in the 1920s and 30s, considered non-white. Jewish people and Italian people, and I have a wonderful son-in-law that I'm very proud of, who has a last name that is very Italian because he is part Italian heritage. And Italians and Jews, who were very prominent, the two leading immigrant groups of the turn of the century before the Immigration Act of 1924, Jews and Italians were both considered non-white. Part of the reason we have Columbus Day is there was a lynching of 11 Italians by white supremacists in New Orleans, and the Columbus Day was initially an attempt to overcome some of the prejudice against Italian families and Italian Americans. And by the way, the whole idea that Hispanics are by definition non-white, or again, they say non-Hispanic white. That's the way they try to fudge the entire thing. If you look at some of the, particularly some of the Cuban stars who are part of the ethnic firmament in the United States, they're non-white? Are they? That's, by the way, quite relevant to one of the big movies we're going to be reviewing today, which is with songs by and voiced by, it's an animated film, original songs from Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is not Cuban, but he's Puerto Rican, but he identifies with that Caribbean culture. But Cameron Diaz, is Cameron Diaz really non-white? Is the Sheen family, Martin Sheen and others, who have Spanish heritage, Are they non-white because they're Hispanic? We'll get to more on this coming up. 1-800-955-1776.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions. But we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVed History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to MichaelMedVed.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus members.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
On the Michael Medved Show, there is a great desire on the part of people on the left to suggest that there is some cultural identity that matters called non-white or people of color. And it's one of those things that nobody bothers to challenge, but it's nonsensical. What do so-called people of color, and by the way, black population holding steady, and 12.5% of all Americans identify as black or African American, and Asian population going up very dramatically, and Latino population going up very dramatically to about 20%. Of the country. So almost double the percentage of the country as the black population. But if you take a look at what people actually have in common, do people of color really represent one united group with united interests, united culture, united history? Does someone say from Thailand, who is a Thai American classified as Asian, have a great deal in common with someone who is an immigrant here from, oh, say, Japan or China, or for that matter, from Bangladesh or India? That's a very dramatic one, because there's a huge surge of immigration from India, and Indian immigrants have done spectacularly well. By some analysis, Indian Americans now are the single most wealthy, most prosperous ethnic group in the country. More than white people, so-called. But is there a great deal in common between someone who has come here from India and would be considered a person of color, and someone who is descended from slaves who is a person of color? The whole idea that culture and identity is based on skin color or your ancestry rather than what you choose, it's fascinating to me, because right now the census is much less concerned with religion. And everything suggests that that there are fewer and fewer Americans who go to church regularly, for whom religion is very important. Again, all of that is happening and churning in the American electorate. However, according to all the numbers, at least a third of Americans, and a little bit more probably, still say they go to church or synagogue or mosque every week. And religion continues to be a force in people's lives. And if you want to talk about someone's religious identity is meaningful to him, my religion is important to me. It is without question a major part in my identity. My wife looks very different from me. She is a blue-eyed blonde. And I can say that her religious faith is very important to her. In fact, right now she's in the middle of preparing for our Shabbat meals, and we have a lot that we look forward to every Sabbath, and to religious observance. That's important. But the idea that she is white, that I am white, that this is part... Now, of course, the answer is, for social justice warriors, well, it's white privilege. That's what does it. When you're a white person, you have a privilege you don't want to even acknowledge, and that unites you with other white people. Except say that to Italian Americans who came here and faced very significant discrimination, or for that matter, Irish Americans who faced terrible experiences when first arrived in the United States. Anti-Catholicism has been a profound focus of groups like the Ku Klux Klan from the beginning, and there was a whole political party based largely on anti-Catholicism, and it was a party that Lincoln fought. It was the so-called American Party, the Know-Nothing Party. It won electoral votes in the election of 1856, elected a governor of Pennsylvania, elected a governor of Maryland, for goodness sake. Maryland even started off as a haven for Catholics, by the way, in its early colonial history. So American history and American identity are complicated. And the idea that there is some kind of unified purpose, unified agenda that brings together people of color. Of course, what people on the left would say is that is an agenda that should link them to the Democratic Party, and the fact that we now have over 40% of Americans who can be identified as people of color, largely because of the growth in the mixed race category, the more than one race category. With all of that, there's still in the New York Times an analysis by Nate Cohn, and what he says is the data paint a picture of America, and America is not very democratic. Now, that's democratic with a large D, meaning Democratic Party. And what he's saying is that the celebration that people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer may be making about, wow, look how wonderfully diverse we are, and there are particularly in big city hubs, including big cities. And that's another interesting thing. Philadelphia is no longer one of the five biggest cities in the country. When I was a little boy and living in Philadelphia, Philadelphia was the third biggest city in the country right after New York and Chicago. It's now Phoenix is the fifth largest city in the country. Philadelphia used to be there. So there is material like that, but is this show a sweep toward Democrats? And it suggests that many Democrats had feared that Latino and urban voters would be badly undercounted amid the coronavirus pandemic and the Trump administration's effort to ask about citizenship status. By the way, there was no reason not to ask about citizenship status. It's a useful information to know. But it's not there. It is still possible that the census undercounted Hispanics, but the results did not have any obvious evidence that the count had gone awry. The Hispanic share of the population was in line with the projections. New York City, the epicenter of the pandemic, showed unexpectedly strong population growth. But with all of that, that may give the New York Democrats a chance to refigure their reapportionment in favor of the Democrats. But New York, very Democratic state, is going to have to lose at least one congressional seat. We will get back to more and more on the impact on the election coming up on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN Team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Thousands of U.S. troops are headed to Kabul to evacuate Americans and Afghan translators from the embassy as Taliban forces now control about half of Afghanistan's territories. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby on Friday saying Afghan leaders still have a chance to fight back.
This is a moment for the Afghans to unite, the leadership. And in the military, no outcome has to be inevitable here.
He says the U.S. is closely watching the situation on the ground. A group of moderate Democrats is threatening to not support the $3.5 trillion Democratic budget bill unless House Speaker Nancy Pelosi brings the $1 trillion infrastructure package to a vote first. This as a group of progressive lawmakers say they won't vote for the infrastructure package until the budget bill is passed first. USA Radio News.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is a remarkable report from the New York Post. It's actually an editorial in that publication. The editorial board writes, fresh data show that half of all 32 New York City school districts have lost at least 10% of their enrollment these past 5 years. Even as charter school enrollment is up 31% from 105,065 in 2017 to 138,648 last year. What is going on? Is this significant? Well, nobody better to speak to about that than a friend of the show, Dr. Steve Perry. He is an author, an educator, founder, and head of schools of Capital Prep in Connecticut and in New York City. Dr. Perry, what is going on? What would lead other than, because the charter schools also have to cope with COVID-19, why the flight from public schools right now?
Michael, always great to join you, and one of the many reasons why I enjoy speaking with you is because you are interested in breaking down the silos and having conversations that extend beyond any particular political stripe. And one of the issues that is most unifying is school choice. Ask any parent if they think that it is their right to select the school that's best for their child and their obligation to choose the best school for their child, or do they think it's the government's right to do so? And so in every single community in the United States of America where school choice is the order of the day, it's fully exercised. You look at places like Washington, D.C., where just over 50% of the folks who live in the residents of Washington, D.C. participate in charter schools particularly. That's just charter schools. That doesn't mean private schools. That doesn't include private schools. That doesn't include home schools or any other version thereof. So this is not a surprise the teachers unions are doing all they can to tamp down access to school choice because it's a really simple math equation. When 100 kids leave a school, the belief is that you then lose 5 teaching positions at that school. And those 5 teaching positions come with approximately $1,500 per teacher of union dues. So it doesn't take long to do the math and recognize that when 100,000 children leave a school system, that's a significant loss to the teachers' union. This has nothing to do with education. There's nothing, meaning their opposition to school choice. But the parents' choice, the parents' efforts to engage in school choice has everything to do with both education and research. Research is crystal clear at this point. No single school type or design is good for all learners. I mean, the research is really clear. We might as well study if water is wet or fire is hot from here on out. But what we also see is that when we create schools that are compelling to children and their families, there's typically a waiting list. And when that waiting list, when those schools are public schools, like charter schools are, and then parents rush to them. And so therefore, the reason why you see a rush to charter schools is because they're free public schools that are designed to meet the needs of parents and children.
There was a piece recently about right now the probably one of the most bitter conflicts among parents and administrators in education has to do with mask policy. And one of the points that part of the DeSantis team in Florida make is that, look, they have a Hope Scholarship in Florida where you have a pretty good amount of school choice, and that people who want to be at a school that where everybody is wearing masks can go ahead, and the state is allowing them to then qualify for those Hope Scholarships and to go to a school of their choice on that basis. Or if you want to go to a school that is entirely mask-free, you can do that. Isn't that an illustration of why school choice is such a good idea in terms of solving some of the conflicts that are dividing Americans?
I'm one of the folks who is an absolute school choice supporter. So while I think it's a bad idea to put children in a position where they could be harmed by the spread of a virus by simply asking them to, by forbidding them to wear a mask, while I think that's a bad idea, I want to be able to send my children to a school where they do wear masks. And so that is why I agree that we should extend the opportunity for children to go to a different school for that and many other reasons.
I agree with you on both points. I, of course, think that masking is a good idea. It enhances safety. But, again, give people the choice. And by the way, the same thing goes to this ferocious conflict about critical race theory. If you want to choose critical race theory for your kids, school choice would allow you to do that. And if you want to choose a more traditional, a less critical of America version of American history, you could choose that, right?
Call it whatever you want. So I'm with you again, right? So I think that if you want to send your child to an all-immersion school where they learn Spanish and they speak Spanish all day, or Chinese, or you know, Mandarin Chinese, or any other dialect, or if you want them to learn about Catholicism, or you want to, I believe that it is the obligation of the United States of America to provide access to a free public education. And what that means is, in the same way that we give financial aid to families who send their child to Xavier University in New Orleans, which is a historically black college, and or which was founded by a religious order. So that's two. One, it's historically black, and two, founded by a religious order. Second, or we send them to Notre Dame, which is a Catholic school, or we send them to the University of Connecticut. I believe that the obligation is the same as it is for health care. We don't tell someone that they can't use their Medicaid or Medicare at Mount Sinai. So I agree with you again. I think that...
It's so very important. Before we run out of time, because I didn't get to talk to you about this last time, tell everybody how we're doing at Capital Prep in Connecticut and in New York.
Oh, 100% of our graduates go on to four-year colleges. In fact, last year, We sent an African-American male on a full academic scholarship to Stanford, to Dartmouth, and then one to University of Pennsylvania. We take children in all grades, so we're a charter school that accepts kids up to the 12th grade, and so in 2020, during the pandemic, we pulled in an entire senior class in Harlem, children we had never met before, couldn't screen, couldn't do anything. They got in 12 African-American males and one African-American female. All of them have gone on to a four-year college after just 1 year with us. So we're not just shooting in the dark. I'm not just hitting things with opinions. We run effective schools in some of the poorest zip codes, poorest, most dangerous zip codes in America.
Is there any plan to bring that kind of opportunity to other zip codes beyond Connecticut and New York?
To be completely honest with you, Michael, and I'd love to have a longer conversation with you, the bigger challenge that we all have is finding talent, finding talented, committed teachers. Who want to work with the neediest children. It's real easy to go to the suburbs and teach kids to read who already know how to read. But to come into a school where a kid is in the sixth grade and reads at the first grade level, it's a bit more challenging. And in order for us to be able to do it right, we need to be able to find people who have the courage and the wherewithal to understand that this is a calling. I feel blessed that God wakes me up every day and gives me the opportunity to be a part of my children's lives. I just can't even believe it. I'll say this finally. I say my children because they are my children. I don't just work at the school. I send my kids to Capital Prep. And if you would look in my house right now, you see five kids from Capital Prep, only two of whom are mine. The other ones are their friends. And so it's just super dope to have, you know, like, we're all hanging out together. We're going to watch a movie tonight because that's just what we do every weekend.
We're going to post information about Capital Prep, and I would encourage people to support Dr. Perry's work. He understands that you make America better and even greater, soul by soul, person by person. Bless you with your work. Have a wonderful weekend. When we come back, a professor says it didn't have to be this way in Afghanistan. What's the alternative? We'll get to it.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com.
All across America, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, President Biden tries to justify his decision in Afghanistan by saying that, well, it's their country and they have to start taking responsibility for it. And Professor Paul Miller says he is telling a drowning man to take responsibility for swimming while reeling in the life preserver the man has been clinging to. He is overestimating, writes Professor Miller, the Afghans' ability to fight on their own while minimizing American responsibility for the crisis in the midst of which we are abandoning them, all while preaching a soothing myth that there was nothing we could have done after all. This is a powerful column. We've posted it at our website at michaelmedved.com. It appeared in the Dispatch. It's entitled Afghanistan Didn't Have to End This Way. Paul Miller is a professor of international affairs at Georgetown University, and he served as director for Afghanistan and Pakistan on the National Security Council staff for Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama. He's also a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Professor Miller, thank you so much for joining us. What could have been a different ending for America's involvement in Afghanistan?
Well, Michael, thank you for the question, and thanks for having me on the show. That is a great question. How else could this have turned out? I think the first thing I want to say is that how it's turning out right now was not inevitable. I think a lot of people look at this war and they see it's lasted 20 years. Do you really want to stay one more year, two more years? Haven't we lost by now? And my answer is that things have changed over the years. There's a story here, how we went in with a light footprint and enabled the Taliban insurgency to take root. And then President Obama announced his withdrawal deadlines publicly in advance and gave the Taliban encouragement. President Trump signed a peace deal that was no good. These are strategic missteps we made along the way that we didn't have to make. And that's why I say today, here now in 2021, it wasn't inevitable that it came here, that it got here. How might it have ended? You know, there's all kinds of things we could have done differently. If we had gone in with a larger intervention force at the beginning, that might not have been an insurgency in the first place. If President Obama had not announced his withdrawal in advance, I think that he might have actually won the war around 2012 or so. If President Trump stuck with his first policy in 2017, he said, I'm going to go win the war, and then he changed his mind, signed a peace deal. That could have made a difference. So all along the way, we had opportunities to make different choices that could have led to a different outcome today.
If President Trump or the head of the National Security Council, Jake Sullivan, had the good sense to pick up the phone and talk to you, What would you advise them for right now? I mean, surely what's happening right now is almost the worst of all possible worlds. It's a disaster. And
yeah.
How can that disaster be redeemed, or is that simply too late?
Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult to know what the window of opportunity allows right now. You know, can we really make a difference? And I have to believe that we can stop the worst possible scenario. You're right to say this week, as the Taliban's on the march and they're taking a dozen provincial capitals and threatening Kabul, this is the worst. I think that we can at least stop the Taliban in their tracks. We can at least give the Afghan government room to breathe and assure their basic survival. And perhaps we can prevent the Afghan army from completely fragmenting. And if we can do that, then maybe something more becomes possible the week after that and the week after that. I don't know for sure because it's difficult and the situation is changing hour by hour. But I do think that if the international community had the will, we could mount a sort of emergency intervention, a kind of a humanitarian intervention, to prevent the worst outcome.
And do you have any hope that that kind of intervention would be possible or considered by the Biden administration?
I've seen very little sign that President Biden is willing to reconsider his decision. He's said several times in recent weeks that he does not regret his decision and that he feels no responsibility for what's unfolding in Afghanistan today, which boggles my mind. I hope that the news of the last 2 days may prompt finally some reconsideration within his administration, that maybe some of his advisors will be able to get through to him and say, look, Mr. President, our allies and our partners that we've stood by for 20 years, they're falling apart. We promised them aid. They're counting on us. Our national security is on the line because Al-Qaeda is still out there, and they will regain safe haven if we allow this thing to collapse. And, I'd love for them to say to the president, you know, it may feel like you've got egg in your face, but it's much better to make a mistake and then correct it than to make a mistake and double down on it. That's true statesmanship right there.
Absolutely correct. And the one thing that I would hope for is President Biden has tried to place a great emphasis on bipartisanship. He did a whole bunch of victory laps because of the infrastructure bill, and he had 19 Republicans voting with him. Surely there are some Democrats and a whole bunch of Republicans who would favor exactly the kind of humanitarian intervention that you're talking about. What if they, on a bipartisan basis, actually got together, went into the White House, and said, Mr. President, we'll have your back on this. Let's do something. A good idea?
I do. I think that could be a good idea. It's baffling. I see no upside for the Biden administration on their current policy. I see none whatsoever. I have no idea why they think this is the right thing to do. Very few people actually think it's a good idea to leave now in the way we're leaving. So if President Biden does reconsider, I think he'll get a lot of people on his side. I think a lot of people will support his willingness to reevaluate his own decision. Again, that's the mark of true statesmanship, to recognize if you need to make a course correction. And he would get bipartisan support for reconsidering his decision.
I think you're entirely correct. There's been some talk of desertions from the Afghan army. Do you credit that? Is that actually happening? And could that be turned around by some public strong display of American resolve?
I do credit those stories. And here's why. If you're an Afghan soldier and you've been working with the Americans for a long time, and then this April, the new American president says, we're leaving no matter what, and we're leaving unilaterally no matter what the Taliban do. Suddenly that Afghan soldier out there, he's thinking to himself, I've no longer got the support I need to win this war. Why throw my life away? I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to commit suicide. Right? It becomes rational on an individual basis for that soldier to save his own life by not fighting in a lost cause. But if you multiply that rational decision by 10,000 soldiers, that's how you lose a war. That's how you have a week like this week, where all the soldiers rationally decided, I ain't going to fight for this. So So we've had a domino effect of a collapse of morale. Can we turn that around? It would be difficult because this week itself has now cemented itself in, I think, in Afghans, you know, in their memories. They know exactly what's happened. They know that the Taliban has been able to seize back the initiative, and they know that the international community has abandoned them. How could we turn it back without something pretty dramatic, without essentially re-intervening? And again, I'm not sure there's political will.
8,000 troops to try to evacuate people isn't dramatic enough.
If all they're doing is evacuating our civilians, it certainly is not enough. You know, again, we're sending the message that we're intervening only to save our own people, not for the Afghans. And so that's not going to help the Afghan soldiers get back in the fight at all. I think that we might need to recommit to the train, advise, and assist mission, where we send our troops there to work shoulder to shoulder with the Afghans to fight our common enemies. That's what we've been doing for the past 10 years. We haven't been fighting a war. We've been doing train, advise, and assist. If we recommit to that mission credibly with a substantial commitment, then it might bring the situation back from the brink.
How many years were you in Afghanistan? How many months?
Well, I spent about 10 years working on the war from various positions with the U.S. Army, the CIA, and the White House. I was in Afghanistan, a couple times, 2002, 2005, 2006, here and there. But my experience there was, 10 years working on the war.
And I know that you do not accept the myth that basically there is overwhelming public support throughout the Afghan nation for the Taliban. I think it's very important that every American who's concerned about this read your column from the Dispatch. Afghanistan didn't have to end this way. There's no shortage of explanations and justifications for our withdrawal. They are myths. Read the truth. Go to michaelmedved.com. And thank you, Paul Miller, for your service to this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.